الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We start today hadith number 32 in An-Nawawi's 40 hadith, and this hadith is reported by the companion Abu Sa'id Sa'd bin Malik bin Sinan al-Khudri. He's a famous companion, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. And so he narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, La darar wa la dirar. And this hadith is very short, and it only consists of four words. La darar wa la dirar. And this means, in English, for now, as we before we move on to the explanation, it just means there is no harm and no reciprocating harm. And there is no harm and no reciprocating harm. Now this hadith, the wording, as you can see, it's very simple when it consists of four words, but the meanings that it contains are very many. And we will see this, inshallah ta'ala, as we proceed through the explanation of the scholars. So first of all, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he begins by commenting upon the first half of the sentence, La darar. And darar, the Shaykh says, this word, it means, it's well known, it means harm. And harm can be in one's body, it can be in one's wealth, it can be in one's children, and also it can be in the animals that one possesses. Harm can be in all of these things. And as for dirar, then this is another word which carries a similar meaning. It also means harm, but there's a slight difference between the two words, and we need to understand what that difference is. So the first one, la darar, when the Prophet ﷺ said there is no harm, this means that it refers to harm which occurs without a person intending that harm. This is darar. And as for the second one, dirar, then this is harm which is caused when a person intends to, you know, create harm. And this is the difference. So in the first one, la darar, it refers to harm which is done unintentionally. And the second, dirar, it is harm which is done intentionally. And so the Shaykh, he gives examples to illustrate each of these two meanings. The first example is, let's say a man has a tree, and so what he does, he waters this tree with water, but what happens is, without his knowledge, this water then goes into the neighbor's area, and it causes harm to the neighbor. But he doesn't actually realize what's taking place. This example here would be what we call darar. It is harm without a person intending that harm, but harm occurs, you know, without his knowledge or intention. The second example, which would be dirar, which is intentional harm, according to what the Shaykh is explaining. This is, for example, when a man, he has a bad relationship with his neighbor, and so he thinks to himself, I'm going to do something to harm him. So then what he does, he, you know, brings something like which has a motor. He runs it so that noise begins to harm his neighbor. So it could be maybe a lawnmower or maybe something else that he's using, but his intention is to harm his neighbor on purpose. In this case, this would be called dirar. This would be called intentional harm. And the first is unintentional harm. So the Shaykh, after making these two clarifications, he says that this hadith, this very simple short hadith with these very simple wordings, is a very great and mighty hadith because it relates to many, many aspects of the religion. Especially when we look at the rulings between the people. In the rulings and the dealings that take place between the people, like for example, you know, we see buying and selling, right? This hadith can apply to the issue of buying and selling. It can apply to mortgaging and pledging. It can apply to even marriage, and it can apply to you know, the will that a person makes or the legacy that he makes. It can apply in all of these different situations, because in all of these situations we find that people, you know, can intend harm to others, not in a direct way but in an indirect way, that within marriage, within writing a person's will, within as the Sheikh has explained, in buying and selling when he has a grudge against somebody. And so in all these situations, harm and reciprocating harm can apply. And for this reason, because it applies in all these different areas of life, this hadith, as short as it is a very great and mighty hadith in how a Muslim ought to behave with respect to others in these areas. So the Shaykh says here, so the principle here is that with respect to the first one, ad-darar, which is unintentional harm, when a person comes to realize that he's creating harm, then he has to immediately cease causing harm. Like in the example that the Shaykh gave, a man, he waters his tree, but the water, you know, goes to his neighbor's side and it causes harm. As soon as he comes to realize this is what's taking place, then he has to cease from, you know, he has to tackle that and not to let the harm go to his neighbor. And as for the second example, which is dirar, which is intentional harm, then it is obligatory to cease that harm. And likewise, the person who's causing that harm, then his affair would be raised to the judge or whoever else. And if there's any kind of punishment meted out, then it would be given to him, because it is intentional on his behalf. So the Shaykh then gives some examples of how this harm takes place in different situations. And from them he says, in the days of Jahiliyyah, a man, when he wanted to divorce his wife, he would divorce his wife, and then he would wait right up until the waiting period, and then he would take her back. Right? Then he would divorce her again, and he would wait for the waiting period, and right at the very end he would take her back. And they would keep doing this 3 times, 4 times. But what his intention all along is that he wants to harm his wife. He wants to create hardship for his wife. He wants to, you know, so this is why when the Sharia came and when Islam came, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he restricted the pronouncement of the divorce for just three times, in order to stop this oppression that was taking place of the women when the men were intending harm towards them. This is one example. A second example is where a man, he has divorced his wife, but he has children from his wife. But the wife has custody of the children. So the wife is looking after the children, and now the wife wants to remarry. And now, so this man, you know, who wants to create some harm and hardship for his wife, so he begins to say to his wife that if you marry again, then I'm going to take the children from you. I'm going to remove the children from you. And so his intention isn't really to take the children. He's not really bothered about the children. He just really wants to harm he wants to create hardship for his wife. Maybe because he's got a grudge from the marriage or whatever, but he wants to, you know, create this hardship. So here now, this deliberate intent to harm his wife is something which is haram for him. Right? But the example here is that look at how in the situation of marriage and divorce, and likewise, not just marriage and divorce, but many other different situations in buying, in selling, with respect to one's neighbor, in writing wills, testimonies, making pledges, you know, in all these different social interactions, we find that there might be intentions and motivations that people have by which they intend to create harm to others. Sheikh gives another example of inheritance. He says another man, he might write a legacy or a will in which he's giving one half of his possessions away to somebody. And the reason why he's giving one half away is because he doesn't want the true inheritors who have the right of inheritance, he doesn't want them to receive everything. Because in Islam, a person when he dies, he's only allowed to give one third. One third of what he possesses he can give away to whoever he wants, but the rest of the two thirds has to be distributed according to the rules of inheritance. So in this example, the man, he wants to give a half away, because he doesn't want the inheritors to receive a part of his inheritance. This again is harm, intending harm, darar. Another example is of a man who the only member of his family left is a nephew. And so what he wants to do is to prevent his nephew from receiving again the inheritance, then he deliberately gives the rest of it away, or all of it away, or a third of it away in terms of the will or the legacy. So these are examples where we can see that in all of these social dealings between the people, because as the Shaykh explains, the nature of people is such, the souls of people are such, that they have been created to have desires, and to covet things, and to seek after things, and to have transgression and enmity. Now, this is how, unfortunately, we find that the man is described with these kind of characteristics. So because of this, in all of the social dealings, we will see people intending harm and trying to create hardships upon others. For that reason, in the Sharia, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained here, la darar wa la dirar, that there is no harm, meaning no unintentional harm, and nor is there intentional harm. And so this is what Shaykh Ibn Thaymin rahimahullah has said. And then there's a very quick note here from Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah himself, the author of the book. He has a brief comment. He says, la darar, meaning, let not one of you harm another one upon other than a right which he has, or upon other than a crime that has been previously committed. And likewise, he says, wala dirar, meaning, do not harm the one who has harmed you. So if he reviles you and abuses you, then you do not revile and abuse him. And if he beats you, then you do not again beat him or strike him back. Rather, you should take back your right without abusing him. So in other words, what this means is, let's say for example, someone abuses you or reviles you or curses you, then there is a Sharia means for you to have justice be done. You don't in turn abuse and revile him back. This is what it means, that there's no dirar, there's no reciprocating harm. If someone brings harm to you, you don't reciprocate the harm back to him. Rather, you use the proper Sharia means to receive your right. Like for example, a neighbor, he deliberately damages something from your property. So let's say he breaks your fence or whatever else, whatever it might be. Then obviously you don't go and then take your hammer or sledge or whatever it is and then destroy his, whatever it might be from his property. This is wrong. This is what is meant, that do not reciprocate harm. Rather, you have a Sharia means to go and receive back your right which your neighbor took from you. So this is what is meant, neither harm nor reciprocating harm. And this is from the kalam of Shaykh, of the author, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. Then we move on to Shaykh Salih bin Abdulaziz al-Shaykh, hafizahullah. And so he begins by saying that when we look at this word, la darar wa la dirar, then he says that this word applies to two things. First of all, it applies to the affairs of worship that we see in the Sharia. And secondly, it applies to the dealings between the people. The dealings between the people. As for the first one, so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, la darar, what he means, according to this explanation of the Shaykh, is that there is nothing in the Sharia, there is no act of worship in the Sharia which Allah has legislated in which there is harm for the servant. Rather, the Sharia is completely free of any type of harm upon the servant. And so the Shaykh says, when we look in the Sharia by way of example, we see that someone who is ill and he's weak and he has a problem, he can't really stand and pray, then he is permitted in the Sharia to sit and pray. He can sit and pray. And likewise, if it is cold and he is ill and he needs to make wudu and the water is cold and this would harm him, then it is permitted in the Sharia for him to use dust, or sand or dust for tayammum. So these are some examples where, when we understand this statement of the Messenger, la darar, and we understand that it applies to both the Sharia, the actual rulings of worship, the actual worship, and the affairs of the dealings between the people. Now from this we understand that the Sharia entirely is completely free of any kind of harm upon the people. Rather, the Sharia makes it easy for the people. It doesn't create any hardship or difficulty upon the people. This is the nature of the Sharia. And this is the first example. And the second example is that in the dealings between the people, which Allah has legislated in the Book and the Sunnah. So, for example, nikah, marriage, and everything which follows on from that, from divorce and so on and so forth, and you know the other types of dealings that we've mentioned already, we see that in those things likewise, Allah has negated that there is any type of harm. And then the Shaykh, he brings some verses to do with divorce, and to do with writing the will, and other similar things, in which Allah has mentioned certain injunctions. And so he says regarding this, that in all of these injunctions, that there is absolutely no harm in these rulings at all whatsoever. And so this is the first example. This is the first example in which Allah has removed any kind of harm in either the affairs of worship or in the dealings between the people. And both of these things are from the point of view of what Allah has legislated. Right, because Allah has legislated acts of worship by which we worship Allah, and Allah has also legislated certain dealings between the people, rulings to do with dealings between the people, and these are both from the Sharia, and in none of that is there any kind of hardship upon the people. The second type of issue that this hadith refers to is just the dealings between the people, meaning in the way that we interact with each other. So regarding this, what this means is that the same thing as what Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, that in the way that we deal with each other, there should be no harm or reciprocating harm between the people. Then the Shaykh moves on to explain the meanings of these two words, darar and dirar. And as we've seen, the scholars have different ways of interpreting these words. Ibn Uthaymeen has explained that darar means unintentional harm, and dirar means intentional harm. And here the Shaykh, he's going to bring three or four different opinions to explain how the scholars have explained what these two words mean. So the first opinion is that in this hadith, when the Messenger said, la darar wa la dirar, this is just really two words with the same meaning, but the Messenger has used them in order to make emphasis, to emphasize the meaning. Right? This is the first opinion, that the words are basically the same in meaning. The second opinion is that ad-darar and dirar are two different words, and the first word, darar, applies to the Sharia, which means that there's nothing which is harmful in the Sharia, and the second word, ad-dirar, is something which refers to the servant, meaning that in his actions, a person should not be creating any type of harm. This is a second interpretation. The third interpretation, which the Shaykh says is the most correct interpretation or explanation of these words, is that the first one, ad-darar, this is when a person, he intends harm to somebody else, and in which there is a benefit for himself. Right? So he wants to harm somebody, but in the course of that harm, he receives a benefit. And this is darar. And dirar is when a person, he intends to make someone, to reach harm to somebody, but there is no benefit for him. He doesn't receive any benefit out of it. And so, in other words, according to this interpretation, a darar is that you intend, that you harm somebody because you want to benefit, and dirar is that you harm somebody but there is no benefit going to come to you at all. And this is the third interpretation, and the Shaykh says that this is the view, this interpretation is the view of Ibn Salah and Ibn Abdul Barr, and he mentions some of the scholars. He says this one is the most correct opinion. And then he goes on to explain that he gives reasons for that, and he then goes on to clarify in detail the one issue which is important, which is, he says, there's something that everybody's agreed upon, which is, if a person intends to harm somebody else without him receiving any benefit from it, then this is agreed upon by everybody, all the scholars, that this is haram. This is not permissible, it is unlawful, and you know all the scholars agreed upon that this is wrong. But then there's the second one, which is when a person intends harm to somebody else, but by which he receives benefit, then there are two views of the scholars regarding this issue. One group of scholars says that this likewise is impermissible. So from those scholars is Imam al-Shafi'i and Abu Hanifa, rahimahumullah, and they say that even if a person was to receive some benefit, then this is still unlawful. Then he gives some examples. He says, let's say for example a person, he's in a house and he wants to open up some windows or some doors or some windows in the direction of his neighbor's house. And when he opens up these windows or this door, he wants to build a door or some windows in the direction of his neighbor, then it will mean that he will be looking directly into the house of his neighbor. And so therefore he will be able to see into the neighbor, whatever. So even though he has a need, it will, because he wants these windows and doors for ventilation. So even though he has a need, it will lead to harm upon his neighbor. In this case, according to Imam al-Shafi'i and Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, their view is that the hadith applies to this situation. The hadith applies to this situation. So this would be unlawful. And he would have to stop and withhold from this type of harm if his neighbor was to complain. So if his neighbor complains to the qadi, then he would have to stop, you know, from this action. This is the first opinion. The second opinion is the opinion of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. And Imam Ahmad, he further divides the situation into two more categories. So he says, this situation when a person, you know, he causes harm to somebody else, but in it there is benefit for himself, he says this itself should be divided into two different categories. The first category is when this thing that he's doing is something that is a habit, it is a custom, it is something that takes place regularly amongst other people. And the second situation is when it isn't a regular habit or a regular custom. And then the example given to illustrate this is, let's say for example a person is going to he's going to burn some rubbish in his garden, or he's going to burn some leaves, he's going to burn something that he's got in his house, he needs to get rid of it, and so he's going to burn it. When he burns it, then his neighbor is going to be offended by the smell. This is one example. Second example is that, let's say he's going to fix his roof and he needs to use some tar and, you know, things like that, and then he needs to, you know, light a fire and burn it and heat it, and then obviously there's going to be a smell, and the smell, it could be windy, it could then go on to his neighbor, and the neighbor maybe has some clothes and the smell could get on the clothes, right? So in these examples, what we are dealing with, or another example, is a person wants to build, right? He wants to build, you know, on his own plot, in his own property, and when he's building and the builders are working, there's noise and there's a racket and there's banging and there's drills and so on and so forth and all this noise, and the neighbor, who's, you know, he's still sleeping 9 o'clock in the morning, he can't really sleep. So in all these situations, we can see that there's two things happening here. Number one, there is clearly a benefit, a desired benefit for the person, and secondly, there is some harm being produced for somebody else. In this case, it's the neighbor. So in this situation, what Imam Ahmad says, that when it's to do with something which is habitual and customary amongst the people, and these things are customary, they always take place amongst the people, and these are needs that people have, then in this situation, the hadith does not apply to it. So when the messenger says, لا ضرر ولا ضرار, it does not apply to this situation. But as for when it is a situation when it's something which is not habitual, it's not usual or customary, and there is some benefit for the person, and the example given here is, the Shaykh gives an example here, is someone is going to build and he needs to blow out some rocks, you know, so he uses dynamite, and obviously in this country they don't do that, but in other countries where there's lots of desert and rocks and, you know, they live in those areas, then they have a need to bring some dynamite and to, you know, destroy the mountain or whatever else it is, so they can build. So in this situation, this is not really something that somebody does every day. It's something, you know, not normal. not usual, not habitual. Now, when he's going to use this dynamite to blow this rock, then as a result of it, what might happen is that the foundations of his neighbor's house, or the windows of his neighbor's house, or some kind of damage or structural damage, might happen to his neighbor's house, or to the people in that area. In this example, this would be unlawful. This would be not permissible, and this would come under the hadith. Why? Because this is not really a normal, habitual, customary thing that people do regularly. Right? So in this case, this would be unlawful for this person to fall into. And so the Shaykh says that really the commentary upon this hadith would be very, very long, because as we've said, it applies to many, many different situations and many different scenarios to do with, you know, what we find in the Sharia and all those different social dealings. But he says, but this in a nutshell is what we can say about this hadith. And so then he summarizes and finishes by saying that it is not permissible for people obviously to intend harm or to reciprocate harm in any of these situations, whether it's to do with marriage, divorce, you know, the wasiyah, the writing of the will or the legacy, and that upon the servants that they shouldn't harm each other, and that if it's something in which a person has some benefit and it's something habitual, then there's no harm in that. But if it's something which is not habitual, then in that case it is not permissible, according to the explanation of Imam Ahmad when he made that clarification. So anyway, this is all the Shaykh really says, and he concludes by saying that there is a much more detailed discussion. We could give more classifications and types, whatever, but he says that really this is it would take too long a time, and this much is sufficient for our purpose in this discussion. So really, this was a very short hadith, and the explanation was very short as well. And this is the end of the explanation of the scholars of this hadith. So, I'm not really sure it's worth starting the next hadith, because it would probably take a while. So, we'll read the next hadith in any case. The next hadith number 33, is from Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. And he said that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَوْ يُعْطَ النَّاسُ بِدَعْوَاهُمْ لَدَّعَ رِجَالٌ أَمْوَالَ قَوْمٍ وَدِمَاءَهُمْ لَكِنِ الْبَيِّنَةُ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِي وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ. This hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if the people were to be given in accordance with their claims, then men would have claimed the property or the wealth of other people and would have claimed the blood of other people. However, the proof, the bringing of the proof, is upon the one who makes the claim. And the oath, meaning the swearing or making the oath of denial, is the one who denies. Now, this is a principle here in the Sharia, that in all of the, or what this hadith relates to, inshallah, as we will go through the explanation in the next lesson, that it relates to a principle to do with the claims that the people make amongst themselves and the dealings that the people make amongst themselves. And the Messenger is saying that if the people were just left to make claims, then everybody would be claiming the property or the wealth of somebody else. And likewise, he would claim, like, you know, the blood money or the right of you know, when the retaliation when someone's harmed, that they would make all sorts of claims to do this. However, in the Sharia, al-bayyina, meaning to bring the proof, then the one who is making the claim, then he has to bring the proof. And the one against whom the claim is being made, then he is the one who ought to swear and make an oath if he denies the claim. Now, this is a principle to do with the Sharia. So, inshallah ta'ala, we will discuss this in the next lesson, inshallah. And so we will leave that for the next lesson. So we'll conclude today's lesson here. It's a short lesson, but the hadith was very short. And, you know, we'll leave the next hadith to deal with in full, inshallah, in the next lesson. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa jazakallahu khairan. Barakallahu fiik.